Maybe seated if you didn't know. Last year in 2017, we got to see something that I've never seen before. I doubt many of you have seen before, a total eclipse. And if you were in Nashville, if you were there at that time, then you know it was what they call a total eclipse. So we were right in line of that kind of started up west, and this line kind of came down the country. And some of us were here at the church. We can go ahead and start it up if you want to. Some of us were here at church. That's not an eclipse on the thing. Some of us were here at church, and some of us were at our offices. Some of us got to watch it on TV, is on Facebook. You know, people are passing around pictures, and I'd never seen it before. I'd never seen anything like that, and I doubt I'll see something like that ever again. I was actually at the Hermitage when I saw it. They had about 8,000 people that were there, and they had offered you could purchase a parking pass, and I just helped with their parking because I knew some people up there. And so during the eclipse, everybody just kind of got quiet. And I remember we were sitting in the parking lot, and I was with two other guys, and the field that was over there at the Hermitage, if you've never been to the Hermitage, they got a lot of grass area. So there's a huge field. Everybody was parked. And all of a sudden, when it was that total eclipse and you could take your glasses off, I think you were supposed to, I did, and I can still see, but I took my glasses off and I looked and I noticed how quiet the earth became. Anybody else notice that? Just how the birds stopped, the noises stopped. I mean, everything, it was like, I think the birds just got confused. You know, is it nighttime? You know, just go to sleep. It got really messed up when it started to move again and then the light came out. You have to think the birds, that it really didn't know what was going on. Like, man, I felt like I didn't sleep all night. Like, wow, that was quick. And all of a sudden, you know, everything starts chirping again. Everything starts moving. But for this 2.5 minutes, it was just it's just quiet. And it's like seeing an act of God. It was an act of God. And having front row seats. And what ruined it, I don't know how they did it, but whoever was at the Hermitage, I guess everybody carries in the state of Tennessee, so we thought it was a good time to pull our guns out and just shoot guns in the air like an old Western. So, yeah, go figure. You think? I know some of you are thinking, surely not. No, that's surely what some of them did, like, you know, woo, and just start firing. I'm thinking, bullets go up, they got to come down. So I was actually thankful I was just in a parking lot. But, hey, we're in the South. I guess that's just what you do. I'm not telling you to do that. I may just give a bad plug for the Hermitage. But we had some crazies out there. But they were so excited, they just didn't know what to do. You know, that was their first instinct. Let's just, you know, celebrate. When you see things like this, all of us knew, most of us knew, if you didn't live in a cave, that the eclipse was coming. In fact, we had a whole informational here, and we had a whole dinner here on a Wednesday night. You know, you come and you learn about the eclipse. We had visitors here. Imagine if you didn't know about the eclipse. Imagine if you knew nothing about what was happening, and all of a sudden you were like the birds. You know, what happened? You know, what's happening? Something happened 2,000 years ago. Something happened. Something happened in the stars. And was it a total eclipse? Was it, you know, was it this or was it this? Scholars or theorists or theologians, they're all, you know, who knows what happened. But we do know something happened. What I want to show you this morning real quick is that this is not the first time a star was in the air that forecast something great. And this is not the first time. I don't want you to think you read this in the Bible and this is the only time a star actually said something. Let's start here. Cicero, who wrote years before Christ, he wrote about a man or an astrologer, guess what they're called, magi, 300 years prior, who saw a star in the air and made a prediction that a great king would be born. Cicero said Alexander the Great was the one who was born on that day. 400 years before Christ, a star was already supposedly in the air when the great king was born. So this is nothing new when the Magi start to see. Now, was there really a star in the air? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know that's what they said. How about this? The year that Julius Caesar died, 44 BC, a comet flew through the air. We know it, a comet actually flew through the air in 44 BC. It flew through the air so long you could actually see it in the daytime. And it flew for 7 days. The comet flew, Caesar had been dead for 4 months, and the Romans believed that this was the sign that Caesar had become a god. And so you see this Roman money behind me. That's Caesar on the front, it's actually Augustus. But on the back is the Star of Julius. You see that eight-rayed star. And our currency in Rome, this is what we have, because when a star flies through the air, it's the sign of a king. Maybe you're still not convinced. How about this? 150 years before Christ, in the city of Jerusalem, a man told his people that there was a star in the sky and that he was the son of this star and that he would bring them, wait for it, salvation. 150 years before Jesus. In fact, he minted his own money. Do y'all see on your, hold on, your left, my left, yeah, that side, your left. That's the temple of Jerusalem on the money. In the middle of the temple is the Ark of the Covenant. Do you see that? Do I have a little thing on here? That's a bad idea. Don't do that. Hold on. Hey, yeah, I do. Okay, wait. Y'all see this right here? Or do y'all see the dot first? See the dot? Okay. You see nothing? No, I'm kidding. Okay, see the temple? Everybody follow the red dot. It's like a bouncy ball on one of the... Okay, see the temple here. Okay, look right here. He puts the star above the temple because he's the son of the star. So no matter what money you have, people believe that when the star comes out, there's a king. There's a leader. And he is to bring you, wait for it, salvation. If you're still not convinced, how about this? Within 3 years of Jesus' birth, 3 years, you know, plus or minus three, in the city of Antioch, the planet Jupiter ends up moving into the constellation Aries. Now, you don't have to know this to go to heaven, but it's still cool that you got to be impressed that I actually know this, at least, right? So the planet Jupiter moves into the constellation Aries. And Aries, if you don't know anything about stars, I didn't either before 2 weeks ago. But Aries is a ram when you connect the dots. And so the city of Antioch began to mint money. And the time that Jesus is born, this is the money you'll have in your pocket. So I'm going to use the little thing again, I think, hopefully. There's the ram, and as the ram looks behind him, do you see what he's looking at? It's the star. So if you live in the time of Jesus' birth, a star is the telltale sign that something big is happening, that there's a king being born. Now, I know we all don't worship the stars. I know that if you read your Bible, if you read Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you will see that God actually outlaws, you know, anybody looking to the stars. You're not supposed to go to the newspaper or your iPad and look up the zodiac sign. You're not supposed to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. Your faith shouldn't come from that. And yet, somehow, God delves in the stars to show something. And he shows it to these men who were looking for something. The Magi are astrologers. They're people who look to the stars for a map. And I don't know what they saw. I think what they saw was Jupiter actually aligning with Venus, I think. I could be wrong. I'm not an astrologer. I'm a Bible guy. So I'm just taking a shot in the dark here. But around the time, we know that's what happened. So those two things align, and it kind of forms like a superstar. And it moves. So they keep aligning. And they do it about three times. And so they see this, they know something's going on, and they decide they're going to go find out where this is. Now, we all know this story, right? I mean, we've all had Christmas, read Christmas stories, we've seen Christmas pageants. You know, we three kings of Orient. We're not going to sing that this morning, but, you know, hey, I just actually learned the words last night. I've been humming it, and Kimberly's actually the one who actually told me the words. They take off, and they're traveling somewhere, and they're following the sign, and I want you to notice what happens. They enter into the city of this guy, Herod. And they come into the city of Herod and they ask this question. What's the question they ask? Where can we find who? The king of the Jews. They go, I want y'all to imagine this, and I'm not talking bad about, you know, politicians, I'm not talking bad about presidents. I'm just y'all know the president as well as I do. Okay? Y'all don't have to get mad. But you know him as well as I do. Maybe some of you know him better. I don't know. I doubt it. But y'all know the president as well as I do. What you know about our current president, let me ask you this. How would he feel if you and I walked into the White House and we said, we're here to see the president? And President Trump comes out and he says, did you ask? Now, he's never going to do that, but he says, I heard you're looking for the president. And we said, yeah, do you know where he is? Now, how does President Trump feel? Now, y'all know him as well as I do. I mean, you know, how well does he take that? You walk into the palace of King Herod, and you say, "Where's the King of the Jews?" Now, you kind of have to think about this. These guys have to be surprised. They're looking for the king. They walk into Jerusalem, and what are they expecting? You know, if I was one of these three kings, or maybe there's four kings or two kings, we don't know a number, but we think maybe it's probably three. They walk into the palace. They got to be thinking, you know, is there a nursery somewhere that we don't know about? Is there a nursery that the king is? In Maryland, we had a church called Eastside, and there's a couple of Eastsides here too, but there's a church there. It's Eastside Church of Christ, and we had a baby shower that was supposed to be at Eastside, and we told everybody, they didn't want to have it at our church. Why? I don't know. They wanted us all to drive for hours to go, but hey, it's okay. We're not bitter about it, a little. So we're going to go drive to the baby shower. And so I go to the baby shower. I'm just going to, you know, kind of do a flyby. I'm going to stop in. I brought a gift. Boom. Hey, how you doing? Shake some hands. Give a hug. I'm leaving. I'm just a guy. I don't have to stay here. You know, thank goodness. So I didn't feel that bad. A lady calls me from our church. And she said, "I'm at Eastside. And I'm getting a lot of dirty looks." And I said, "Well, I'm leaving Eastside. And I don't see you." And she said, "Well, I walked into the auditorium carrying a gift, and there's a funeral going on." And I said, "Becky, you not at Eastside." She said, "Pastor," she called me pastor. She said, "Pastor, I'm standing out here at the sign. I'm looking at it, and it says Eastside." I said, "Read me the sign. Read me the sign." She said, "It says Eastside Church of the Holy Saints." Mm-hmm. I said, "Hey, it's Eastside Church of Christ." She said, "Why do y'all have two churches?" She didn't grow up Church of Christ. You know, she was new convert. I said, "That's not our church." She said, "Why would they name two churches Eastside?" And I said, "Hey, I don't know. I didn't ask. But all I know is you need to bring the gift." She said, "Well, I felt bad. I left the gift." I said, "Well, what did you buy?" And she said, "Well, there was diapers and stuff." I said, "Why would you leave diapers at a funeral?" That story's always been funny to me, and I don't know if she ever went back. We didn't talk about it, and I didn't tell the people, you know, "Hey, she brought you a gift, but she left it over here." But you kind of have to wonder about all the people at the funeral that day. Like, you know, who brings a big, you know, it was pink because it was going to be a girl. You know, we brought a big pink gift to the funeral. Maybe you bring flowers, condolences, I don't know, something. So she brings it in. But I want you to think about that scene. As the three magi come in bearing gifts, are we at the wrong place? I mean, where's the King of the Jews? I mean, think about it. You know, they're calling their friends. Where's Eastside? Did we follow the star? The star stopped. We got here. Is there a nursery somewhere that we need to know about? Maybe is there a shower over here? Is there something over here? Because all of you people look like you're at a funeral. And we think this should be a celebration. Surely, did we read the map wrong? Why do they think they're at a funeral? Why do they think there's something wrong? Maybe they don't think there's a funeral, but I guarantee you they know something's wrong. And it's because of this man, Herod. If anybody thought he was king of the Jews, it was Herod the Great, we called him. Herod kind of had this way of taxing you heavily, and he took all of your money and he took all of your crops, and then he gave you a little at the end, like an entitlement gift. Like, if you'll sign up for government assistance, we'll give you the bare minimum of corn and wheat and flour. We'll give you the bare minimum. He had this gift of taking everything from you and just giving you a little bit and you thinking he was a great guy, even though he took it all from you. Herod liked to build things. So if you live in Jerusalem, Herod builds this big marina, Caesarea. And you can still see the remains of it underwater. Well, you can't unless you kind of go there, but you kind of get the point. Herod builds this big piece of structure, this marina. He builds this fort, Masada. He builds what's called Herodium. I don't know if y'all know what Herodium is, but here's how arrogant this guy. I mean, you thought we had arrogant politicians? Get this. Herod decides that he wants to build his own mountain. And so he looks and he finds him a mountain and he says, I want you to take that mountain and I want you to move it over here because I like that mountain right here. And so they go and they dig off, they just cut away the mountain. It just takes all these slaves and all these people and they go and they literally move the mountain over here because Herod likes it over here. And he wants everyone to know that he's the one who can move mountains. I want you to think about this. In 30 years, Jesus will be standing in a place where you can see Herodium behind him. And Jesus says these words. For anyone who has faith the size of a mustard seed can tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will be done. I wonder if Jesus was trying to tell us that moving mountains is nothing. If you have faith, this is a joke. This is a joke compared to what you can do with the amount of faith. You see how this threatens Herod's agenda? How about this one? Because here's the real big one. Herod's the one who built church. Herod built the Jewish temple. And so now we owe him. Now when you go to worship, I mean, it's fine, but you still have to pay him homage. We give money in the baskets, and well, 80% of it's got to go to Herod because, you know, he owns the note. So we got to pay him. I guess we can't talk bad about him, right? Because we got to do that. Herod, in order to pay for all these projects, taxed everybody heavily and made us all feel like we owe him. And I want to share with you two more things. Caesar Augustus, who was Caesar, who was king, he was a friend of Herod's, and I'm going to read to you a line he said about his friend. Is it still on? There we go. He said, I would rather be Herod's pig than his son. It's his best friend. I would rather be Herod's pig than his son. Herod married a Jewish woman who was great, 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 great granddaughter of a former Jewish king. And he married her so that everybody would say he's the king of the Jews. But he started getting paranoid. Because when you marry into a family full of royalty, now it's just everybody else is royal too. So how do you get to be alone? Just kill them off. So he killed off her brother, and he killed off her other brother, and then he killed off her father, and then he got so paranoid, guess who he killed? His wife. Because he thought, maybe she's trying to plot against me. And then the kids that he had, he thought, you know what kids do when they get 18 and 19? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they start to feel like, you ever had your son kind of look at you like, I could take you. Your son ever give you that look? Yeah. Herod got to thinking when his son was 8 years old, one day you're going to give me the look. Can't have that. Guess what? Gotta go. Killed him too. Killed over 18 members of his closest family because he thought one day they might try to take the throne from me. And so he kills them. He's a paranoid little man and he rules with fear. It's so bad. This is the last piece about him. Josephus says that 3 days before Herod the Great died, he arrested the most important, the most elite, and the most influential citizens of Jerusalem. And he had them jailed, and he entered into law that at the moment of his death, whenever it would be, at the moment of his death, that the most important, the most influential, and the most elite citizens are to be killed at the moment that he dies, so that he would guarantee there would be weeping in Jerusalem when I die. How's that? You're not going to cry for me? I'll make sure you cry anyways. I'll give you something to cry about. And this man is the man that these three strange astrologers walk in and say, looking for the king of the Jews. And you know Herod's court is saying, hey, shh, hey, you guys are new, okay? we don't talk about that stuff in here, all right? We don't say things like that in this room. How about we start with another question like, oh, Your Majesty, you look great today. Yeah. And let's, you know what? And then we'll move on to some other stuff. These are some, how about some warm-up questions before we fire away at this? And Herod says, I'm sorry? You looking for the king of the Jews? I told you I'm Herod. They said, oh, no, no. We've been following a star. And as soon as they say star, oh, because every coin in Herod's pocket, guess what it's got on it? Stars. People always looking for stars. People always looking for kings. Herod says, you know what? I've heard something about that. I'll be right back. I got some wise men of my own back here. And he goes back there. And when you read this text, Brother Daniel read, when you read this text, I want you to notice what he read. Herod goes to them and he says, he doesn't ask for the king. Y'all notice that? He doesn't say, hey, where's this? Some guys came in, they're looking for a king. He goes to there. He knows. He says, hey, where is who? The Christ. I know about this whole Christ business, you know, this whole thing y'all got going on here. So I put two and two together. They're looking for the king. I know who they're looking for. Where's the Christ to be born? And did y'all notice when he read a while ago? Those wise men fired the answer back. They didn't go back to their library and look it up. I don't know. Let's just kind of see where this is. I don't know. They knew Herod was going to ask this question, and they never said a word before. They knew it was coming. They were ready for the information. Have y'all ever noticed how often the Old Testament speaks about this? Look at Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I'll put it up here in case you don't have your Bible. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. How about Isaiah 60, verse 3, all nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. How about Psalm 72? May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seva bring gifts. The Jewish people know that kings are coming, and when they show up at your door and they're asking, where's the king of the Jews? This is the day. The eagle has landed. It's time to go. But here's the real text that the wise men know about. But you, where? Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. We live in the outskirts of Nashville. Is anybody, don't be afraid to raise your hand, and I might call on you, it's okay, which means you're not going to raise your hand now, but is anybody in here from a rural town in Tennessee? Like, you were born in a rural town in Tennessee. Anybody? Dale, where were you born? Dixon, Tennessee? Is that, help me out, is that west? We all don't agree, Dixon's pretty rural. Is it still rural, Dale? No? It's not rural anymore? Was anybody born in a town that's still rural? Where were you born? Okay, Moss is still rural. I got that. Oh, yes. What they got, 9 people in Moss? Anybody from Moss? Okay, one person. So there's 8 left at home. I'm totally kidding. I'm sorry. I know JR was born from a rural place. I know he came from the... What county? Was it Hickman County? But what was the city called? Yes. Yeah, that just sounds rural. Centerville. Anything with a... you know, Centerville. Anybody from Bucksnort? I don't even know where Bucksnort is, but I know it's a real place. So, surely you are not from Bucksnort. You are from Bucksnort? You're making this up. You're lying before your shoulder surgery. What county is Bucksnort in? Is it from Hickman? Oh, man. Okay. So we're going with JR and Shirley on this. All right. So the people show up. They go to the White House. They talk to, so they go to the governor. Let's keep the president out of it. They go to the governor's, hey, we're looking for the king. And the governor says, well, you got him. And they say, no, he's a baby. And he's born. Y'all got a nursery around here? You know, let me find out where this guy is, okay? So he goes back in here. Where's he going to be born at? Davidson County? Where's a king to be born in the United States? New York City? Manhattan? Los Angeles? Chicago? No, it's too cold. Nowhere cold. You know, I mean, what do we got here? Denver? I mean, what are some big... Atlanta? I mean, what are we talking about? The Secretary of the Interior and the Secretary of State come back and they say, no, it's Bucksnort. I'm sorry? Is that a real place? Yeah. It's Hickman County. Yeah. So the leader of the world is going to be born in Bucksnort. You got to be, like I just said with Miss Shirley, you got to be pulling my leg. No, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Yeah. So Herod says, tell you what, because you guys look like you're pretty important people. How about you go on to Bucksnort? It's not Bucksnort. Some of you are looking in your Bible, Bucksnort, I didn't see Bucksnort. You fell asleep. It's Bethlehem. Okay, Bucksnort was the analogy. Why don't you go on to Bucksnort? Why don't you find whoever it is you're looking for? And if you find him, I want you to come back. Send me a text. You know, let me know that you found him. Because why? Because I need to go pay tribute too. And the people behind Herod are thinking, we know what tribute looks like. And y'all know the rest of the story, right? You know the tribute gets paid. Because the Son of God is born, little boys lose their life. All because of this weak, paranoid little man. This little story that's almost always consumed by the Christmas tradition is so important for you and I. This whole story is about seeking God. And these three wise men this morning are seeking God. And let me show you. There are three kinds of people who seek God. Okay? Three kinds. That's it. Three. Here's the first. There are those who are willing to seek him, but they don't know anything about him. It sounds good. It sounds hopeful. And you know what? It's got to be better than what I have. And I'm willing to give it a shot. They don't know anything about him. These wise men know nothing about Yahweh. They know nothing about Jehovah. They know nothing about God. All they know is something big's going on, and I want to follow that something big. And when I find it, it's going to change my life. They don't know what it is, but they're seeking him. Church, there are people today who are seeking God. We all think, like, nobody wants to go to church. You're wrong. They're seeking something better than my life. They don't know anything about it. And here's the big thing. God will use whatever means necessary to get them here. Even the stars. To get them here. Don't ever think God can't use even the worst of things, even the dumbest of things, even the most mythical of things to get people to seek him. He can use whatever he wants. And he uses a star of all things. But there's another group. There's a group who they know who God is, but they don't want to follow him. You remember the other set of wise men in the story? Herod's wise men? They know the text. They know the scripture. They know where he's to be born. But we're just scared. I want y'all to think about something. In all of your lives, you have a Herod. Herod is the thing that you hate, but you love what it does. You hate Herod. You hate what Herod costs, but you love having him around. Y'all know how many women I have seen who hate the man they're with because he beats the crud out of them. And they're too scared to say anything. They love him, but they hate what it costs. Do you know how many people I've seen addicted to alcohol or opiates or anger? They love it, but they hate what it costs. It taxes them, and it hurts them, and it kills them, and they're so scared to say anything or to do anything because we don't know what life would be like without Herod. I mean, even when we go to temple, I mean, we wouldn't have temple if it wasn't for Herod. That's what people do. That's how they operate. That's how the world operates. They make you believe you can't live without me. You're lucky to have me. You're blessed to have this in your life. So just stay low and don't try to do anything different. Some of you are like this in your job. You work and you work and you work and you're trying to cut corners and you're trying to get the promotion, or maybe you're trying to get the raise and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying. And some point at some time, somebody looks to you and they ask you, is it really worth the price that you're paying with your family? And you look back and you think, what have I lost? Because you refused to stand up to Herod. There are a lot of us in this room who know what we need to do, but we're too scared. Because we're too scared of what we'll lose. And let me give you this guarantee. Whatever you lose is nothing compared to what you will gain. You can gain it all, but you must first lose it. And Herod's got us all scared. There's one last group. There are those of us who know what we need to do, and we're not afraid to do it. And when we do, God not only directs us, He provides for us. Right after this story, Daniel didn't read it, but right after this story, Joseph and Mary are in their house. It's been a couple years. Joseph's maybe got the business going again, and he's got, you know, doing carpentry things. And an angel appears to Joseph, and he says, "Hey, Herod's on a rampage. And he's coming for you, and he's coming for the baby, and you got to get out of town." Now, if it was Adam who had this dream, Adam would have a list of things I need for us to clear first. I'm okay with going out of town, but there's this thing about money. What if I told you, hey, you need to move to Los Angeles? I mean, that's cool and everything, but for those of you who've put in your time here and you're like 2 years away from retirement, what are you going to do about money? Y'all seen housing market in Los Angeles? It's worse than Davidson County. I know some of you don't think it is, but I promise you, it is. I need you to move. Where does God tell Joseph to go? Egypt, the most expensive market in the world. I need you to move to Manhattan. You know, and Joseph says, what am I going to do for work? That's what Adam would say. What am I going to do for, I mean, I'm cool with going, but I need money. I got to find a way to care for my family. You want me to go there and live in a box? Now, I don't know if Joseph said that, but I think that would go through my mind. And if I was Joseph and God told me, hey, I need you to go to some big city. I need you to just make it on your own. And here I am packing my boxes. Here I am packing the truck. And we're all getting ready to go. And as I go to grab that other box, these things fall out. It's gold, expensive incense, and myrrh. Oh, yeah. Isn't it strange that at just the moment God calls Joseph to leave, He provides him with gifts to live on. How are we going to make money? I got you. How are we going to? I got you. How are we? I got you. And Joseph just leaves. I want us to be that group. I want us to be the people that look for God to lead us. And we trust God to provide for us along the way. Church is going to take both. It's going to take belief and it's going to take trust. And both of those translate into faith. It's real faith. Jesus says, He calls you. He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Some of you this morning are just afraid to knock. Just knock. What's the worst that could happen? Did He answer? I mean, seriously, what's the worst that could happen? Did He actually answer? Would that be so bad? Or are you afraid that He will answer? And when He does, are you afraid of what He will tell you to do? Ask. Seek and knock. Believe and do not be afraid. If you need help with your belief, if you need help with trust, if you need help with faith, seek God. We're trying to do the same thing. Let's stand and sing.